These two spotlights up here for me too. Will that be all right? Yeah, that's good. Now I can see you guys. Huh. Yes? Right. Okay. We're talking dairy right next. Yep, that's next. Okay. Hold that thought. We're going to finish on nutrition and exercise, and then we're also going to... I still got some spotlights in my eyes here. I'm sensitive to light. There. Much better. Thank you. And then we'll change our topic tomorrow and Friday. All right? Beginning, I'd like to be sure and take all your toys and turn them off. All right? It's rude to be playing with those things with a speaker up front. I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate everybody having their head down playing with their toys while you're talking. So I just ask for the same courtesy that if you're coming here, then be here and be part of us and participate. And if you can shut down the things that you're doing, or you can go outside and take care of business if you need to do that. But don't be rude to a speaker and sit there in front of them and, you know, play with these toys. And it's distracting to other people too. So the devil's really got us hanging around. Some people are so addicted to these things, it's just unbelievable how they just can't seem to keep their head up. The devil wants their head down, down. Don't pay attention. So I guess my introducer isn't going to be here. He's in traffic, so I'll just introduce myself. I'm Paul Volk, and so I think most of you know that by now. And we'll go ahead and start with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for this wonderful wisdom that you've given us. And Lord, we pray it can be used not only to bless us, but to bless those that we share it with. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Going back into the area of food and nutrition. Now remember, I don't know what's in your refrigerator, so I'm not here to make anybody embarrassed or uncomfortable because I don't know what's in your refrigerator. And that's just between you and God. But as I've said, I'm more interested in what's going to be in your refrigerator next week and next month and next year. And so is God. Remember, no matter what food that we do consume, keep in mind John chapter 6. And verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So of all the food you're eating, be sure you're getting the bread of life. And then he says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, which bread? The living bread, yes. He shall live forever, and the bread also which I shall give to him for the life of the world is my flesh. So in all you're eating, be sure you're getting the living bread that came down from heaven. All right, our next category that we were going into is dairy products. And some people hang on with white knuckles to their dairy products. Look, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I gotta have a fix. And so we cut corners and we compromise and we try to include as many things as possible that we can get away with. But are we getting victory? That's the issue. The issue that God has for us is, I want you to do here on earth what you would be doing in heaven. Isn't that right? When does heaven begin? As soon as we're baptized. Isn't that right? That's when eternity begins for us. So I want to start listening to music that the angels would join in, wouldn't you? If I do, I'm getting ready to go there. I want to eat the food that's growing in heaven. If I do, I'm getting ready to go there. Isn't that right? Yeah, it's very logical. So we wanted to start doing as much as possible, hanging around with those Enochs who are walking among us. We're told there are Enochs walking among us. Those are the people that I want to hang around with. Keep my eye out for an Enoch and learn and grow from them. All right, dairy products. Dairy is scary. If you're a baby doctor in the United States, you know who this man is. Dr. Frank Oski, former director of pediatrics, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and physician-in-chief at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. This was the number one doctor at Johns Hopkins. He's responsible for 19 medical textbooks dealing with hematology, which is blood, and pediatrics, which is for children. He's produced over 260 medical manuscripts that are in the best medical university research centers around the world. And one of the booklets that he's responsible for is entitled, Don't Drink Your Milk. Now, why would the number one doctor at Johns Hopkins ask us not to drink milk? Well, it's fairly simple. Cow milk was not designed by God for a human. Each mammal nurses its own young. There are no mammals, rare exceptions, that will nurse from another animal. Man is the only mammal that after infancy, he continues to nurse. And he's nursing off someone who doesn't even look like him. And he's getting a formula that was not designed for him. Cow milk has 3 times more sodium, 3 times more calcium, 3 times more protein than mother's milk. This stuff is rocket fuel. It's not designed for us. A newborn calf weighs 40 to 50 pounds at birth. Its first year of growth, it will be 10 times bigger, about 500 pounds. So it needs a strong formula to be 10 times bigger. Human babies, 6 to 8 pounds at birth. Its first year of growth, it will only triple its birth weight. So unless you plan on your one-year-old weighing 500 pounds, you need to give it the correct formula. And that formula is not cow's milk. It was not designed for a human. So let me read to you this closing paragraph from this book, and you can make your own conclusions. I'm never telling you in this seminar, you've noticed, what you have to do, what you can't do, what you should do. I'm simply giving you the information. You're free to decide how you want to feel. Remember, we're looking at things that are good, better, and best. You want to feel good? Do that. Better? Do that. Want to feel best? That's what God wants. Cow milk has no valid claim as the perfect food. So who told us cow's milk was the perfect food? The Dairy Council, of course. Not the biochemists, not the nutritionists. Not one of them have told you cow milk is the perfect food. Only the Dairy Council and those who have financial gain. As nutrition, milk produces allergies in infants, diarrhea and cramps in the older child and adult, and is a factor in the development of heart attacks and strokes. Perhaps when the public is educated, is what? Educated as to the hazards of milk, only calves will be drinking their mother's milk. You see, we need to be educated about milk. Are we being educated about milk? No, we're not. We're being propagandized. We're being trained by large corporations, but we're not being educated. Everybody needs milk. Milk has something for everybody. Now that one was true. Milk has something for everybody. Mucus, phlegm, diseases, it's got something for you. I'm not sure I want it, but it's got something for you. So, you say, where am I going to get my calcium if I don't drink milk? Good question. Go to any library, get a food chart book, and you'll see where all the calcium is. Calcium is in everywhere. If you have enough food to eat, you have enough calcium. It's automatic. But the Dairy Council wanted us to scare us to thinking that we don't have enough calcium. So, let me ask you, what animals that walk the planet have the biggest bones and would therefore need the most calcium? What animals? Elephants, yes. Rhinoceros, hippopotamus, huge bones, yeah? Do they drink milk? No, they don't. Where are they getting all this calcium for these massive bones? From the plant kingdom. It's there. Now, if there's enough calcium in plant for an elephant leg this big, do you think there's enough calcium for my little legs? There's no question. There's no question. It's there in the plants. Now, while we're at this, when we're talking about easing up on the meat and dairy products, and by the way, I don't want you to do this all at once or suddenly. You'll shock your system. Your body has gotten used to years and years of foods, and you have to adjust appropriately. How many of you ever smoked cigarettes? Okay, was that first cigarette wonderful? Boy, it wasn't for me. I coughed and I hacked and I practiced in the bathroom until I could be cool. And then I learned to blow the circles. Yes. But you see, at first my body rejected the cigarette, but I kept putting it in, and finally it says, all right, now I have to have it. It goes from rejection to craving. Isn't that right? Your first cup of coffee is usually not your favorite. But if you keep drinking it, then you have to have it. At first, you see, your body will try to reject the poison, and then if you keep introducing it, it will start to crave it. You ask any pediatrician, should I feed my baby meat? And they said, no, you'll kill it. You give a baby meat, the baby will die. Because we said yesterday, meat is 75% toxic to the human body. It can't handle the poisons, and it will kill a baby because his immune system isn't up enough to be able to handle those poisons. So, a couple of things that we want to watch for. I'll tell you, when I quit the meat, I was baptized December 1st, 1973, and all these Adventists said, you know, you should eat Kellogg's Special K loaf. How many of you ever had that? Well, I think you're safer with a Big Mac. It's got 8 eggs, a pound of cheese. Yeah, that stuff's pretty heavy. Anyway, so they kept after me saying, you know, you should try to eat more vegetarian, and said, all right, look, I grew up in a medical family. I don't believe you can be healthy not eating meat. But I'll tell you what, January 1st, I'll do a New Year's revolution. I'll eat meat every other day for the month of January. And the end of the month, when you see that I'm sick, I'll tell you, okay, I gave it a try. Doesn't work. About half the Adventists are meat eaters. I'm going to be the meat eating half. And the Lord said, that's what you think. I got bigger plans for you. So January 1st, New Year's resolution, I eat meat every other day. By the end of the month, things were not going well at all. I was feeling better. And I said, uh-oh, this experiment could go wrong. I said, I know what I'll do. Next month, February, I'm only going to eat meat twice a week. And you can't survive on meat just twice a week. That's not enough. And so I ate meat twice a week. Now, I could tell you, when I woke up in the morning and I knew it was meat day, I was ready to kill and eat. Ah, meat, meat. I eat it till it's coming out of my ears. This is meat day, meat. But the end of February, I was feeling better, didn't have the mid-afternoon slumps, and I said, oh man, this is going terrible. I said, all right, I've got it now. Next month, March, I'm going to eat meat once a week. You cannot survive on meat once a week. That's not enough. And so I ate meat once a week in the month of March. And by April 1st, I was no fool. I got it figured out. All I ask you to do is experiment with your own body and see what happens. Water drinking, if you're only drinking one or two glasses a day, try to drink an extra glass next week and an extra glass next week until you get up to 8 or 10. Just experiment on yourself. You're your best laboratory. Experiment on yourself. Get to bed a little earlier and see what that does for you. Experiment on yourself. Remember, the Bible says the truth will set you free. Yes. All right. Some things you want to be careful about when you're eliminating some of these foods and people have concerns about, that's vitamin D3 and vitamin B12. What do you do about that? Well, let's talk about B12. I'm going to give you 4 sources of B12. You decide what you're most comfortable with and what works for you. A lot of professionals believe that overnight, while you're sleeping, B12 forms on the back of your tongue. And if you get up in the morning before you eat breakfast, brush your oral cavity, including the tongue, without toothpaste. Toothpaste will destroy B12. It's a harsh chemical, and B12 is a very delicate vitamin. So you brush without, you know, and you swallow. And so people go, oh, swallow. And I'm going, oh, you swallowed 10 times since we've been here. You know, there's nothing wrong with swallowing. So other scientists say there's very little B12, and that's true. But vegetarians require very little B12. Do you know most B12 deficiency is found in meat eaters, not in vegetarians? The B12 deficiency is in the meat eater. Meat requires massive amount of B12 if it's in your diet. Vegetarians require very, very little B12. So all of the scientific evidence is coming out very clear. B12 did not catch God by surprise. Oh no, I forgot the B12. Not a problem. Another source of B12, if you have a high fiber diet, and only if you have a high fiber diet, in your descending colon, you have receptors that will extrapolate B12 out of your fecal matter. If you don't have a high-fiber diet, it's too far down in your colon, and it won't extrapolate it. But if you have a high-fiber diet, it'll be higher up in the colon, and that's where the receptors are to extrapolate the B12. Another source of B12, a lot of these manufacturers of vegetarian foods realize you're not eating animal, and so they add B12 to it. added to the soy milk, to the monkey meat, and the veggie stuff. By the way, we should talk about that because a lot of people have been asking me about that. What about wham, slam, and blam, and all of these other things? I call those transition foods. It's helping you to make the transition from the animal taste to the plant food, all right? God wants us to have victory over animal, and if we keep enjoying the flavor, have we gotten the victory? No, we haven't. I haven't learned to eat like the Garden of Eden. I still want the taste of pork, chicken, beef. I still want that taste, and I've not gotten the victory. God wants us to have the victory. So if you want these on special occasions, I don't have an issue with that. I sometimes have them at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Some of these you should have for leap year. Okay? But don't eat them all the time. They're very hard to digest. In order to make them chewy and spongy, they put them through a special machine called an extruder. If they would keep it that machine a little longer, it would turn to a semi-plastic and you could go sledding on it. All right? This stuff is hard to digest. And the idea is you're not getting victory over meat. You're still enjoying the meat flavor that you're getting from those products. So I want to see us get the victory over this and get where we're enjoying the taste of plant foods. I know people always have new recipes and new cookbooks. To me, the best cook in the world is Jesus. All right? He planted all the seeds on the earth for us to eat. He's the best cook. If I have to doctor it all up, I'm saying, God, you did okay, but I'm a better creator. I'm going to recreate this stuff so that you won't even recognize it. And then I end up eating this stuff, and my body says, this is a little difficult. You see, if I sit down at my table and Adam and Eve will recognize my food, my body is going to recognize it. And that's what I want. I don't want Adam to even say, what's this? You know, oh, that's soy chop lop flip lop stuff, you know, and say, what do you do with it? Do we wash the counter? No, well, you can, but you got to be careful not eating that stuff all the time. It doesn't work well with your digestion. And our digestive tracts are getting trashed, aren't they? I can't tell you how many homes I go into. I would say 80% when they open up that refrigerator door, I see either a pink bottle or a blue bottle. You know what it is, don't you? Pepto-Bismol, Phillips Milk of Magnesia. Because our digestive tracts are not any good. We've trashed them because of all the garbage and stuff that we're putting inside there. We got to be careful. All right? You also can take B12 tablets. If you do, it has to be sublingual. In other words, it goes under the tongue. B12 that you swallow doesn't work because your body will destroy it, your digestive acids. So you need sublingual B12. You put it under your tongue. Your body can absorb that. If you're really worried, every year you can have a B12 test. Just test yourself for B12. Costs a little extra, like the vitamin D3. But when you start losing B12, it's not like it's gone in a week. Okay? It takes time. They will detect it early enough to say, hey, your B12 is dropping, and then you can take appropriate action. So don't worry, like if I stop now, I'll be B12 deficient in 3 weeks. No, you're not. It takes years for your B12 storage to be used up. So if every year you have a blood panel done, they'll tell you if it's dropping or not, and then you'll know. D3, the problem with D3, we didn't mention this with sunlight. If you live north of Phoenix, Arizona, you're probably not getting enough D3. The angle of the sun north of Phoenix is not enough. You have to go into the Caribbeans or the South Pacific, which I try to do every year, just like Jim. Then I tell my doctor, I was in Costa Rica, I got my vitamin D3. Well, one of my doctors is very strong on this D3, so he says, all right, Paul, have you been in the South Pacific or somewhere? So go down to San Diego, go down to Miami, you know, you'll get your D3. But if you're north of that, it's a little harder to get the vitamin D3. Just have it tested, you'll have peace of mind if you're not really sure. All right, so I think I got our B12 and our D taken care of. This is the food pyramid that was originally developed by Dr. Neil Barnard. He's an associate for disease prevention at George Washington University. He formed what was called the Committee for Responsible Medicine. 3,000 doctors volunteered to serve on this committee to try to figure out how to improve the health in America. Because according to the United Nations, America is the most overfed, malnourished country in the world. Now that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? How can you be overfed and malnourished at the same time? Simple. The whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. The whiter the rice is not so nice. We're eating so much highly refined and processed foods, we're not getting fiber and we're not getting the nutrition that we need. And so Dr. Barnard developed this pyramid to give us more of a guideline on how we should be eating. And this is the right step. I know they've come with some newer ones later, and they're getting better at it. But basically, it's a good idea. Right down here, he's starting with the whole grains. And actually, in fact, the grain doesn't need to be this big. These three should all be tied together, the grains, the fruits, and the vegetables, as your basic diet. And then over here, they've got dairy, and what I like to look at this as the soy stuff, you know, the soy cheese, the cashew cheese, the rice cheese, and then they got meat, nuts, and the eggs, and I'll stick right here with the nuts. Ellen White says almonds are the king of the nuts, so they're very important to have in your diet. Also walnuts because of the omega-3s, but you can also get the omega-3s in flaxseed. But you need to have a grinding machine to grind that. You buy the little coffee grinder at Walmart or wherever. What's that? Yes, but you have to grind it. If you eat the flaxseed without grinding it, it's going to pass like a penny. You won't absorb it. You have to grind it up, just like sesame seeds or sunflower seeds. It has to be well ground up. So anyway, if you combine a half a cup to a cup of beans a day with any grain, you get all 22 amino acids that the body needs. Beans and grains give you all 22 amino acids. You're not lacking in anything. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The scientists that you've been listening to and that I've been quoting this week are the biggest guns in the business. How many of you have watched Forks Over Knives? Anybody seen that? All right, that's got Dr. Esselstein from the Cleveland Clinic, T. Colin Campbell that I told you about yesterday that I met with from Cornell University. These guys are the big boys. When they walk into the room, the rest of the doctors bow. They've done their homework. They've got books out. And they're saying, all of them, singing the same song. Plant-based diet. Same song. They know now that's where it belongs. Now, as you work your way up the pyramid, we get to the favorite part. And what's at the top? Oil and sugar. And the problem is we've taken this and we put it down here, and that's why our bottoms are so big. Is because we're eating too much oil and sugar in our diet, and that's because we like it. But we have to be careful about that. And I've got some recipes we'll try to get off for you. I have about 6 pages of recipes. I usually do a cooking demonstration also, because some of you know my dad is a professional chef, but we obviously can't do that here. We're not set up to do that. But I'll at least get you the recipes. I've gotten these in the travels of the 40 countries I've been to. When I taste something good, I say, can I have this recipe? They said, as long as you don't sell it. And I said, no, I give everything away. I don't charge even for my seminars. I'm a full-time missionary. Live by faith. So I said, I'll give the recipes away. So some of these recipes here are amazing. I mean, I've had truck-driving husbands come to the cooking thing and tell the wife, if you can cook like this, all right, I'll eat it, you know. Parents have told me they got their kids off of Snicker bars by using the carob fudge bars that I have on the recipe. And if you freeze it, the kids really like it frozen. So what I like to do for ice cream is I freeze grapes, and I eat frozen grapes just like ice cream. It's real easy. Of course, you can make banana shakes and all these other wonderful things. But anyway, this is what we're trying to shoot for. This is kind of the guideline. If you're going to eat beef, make it very low fat. Don't fry it at a high temperature. When you fry it at a high temperature, it becomes carcinogenic. If you're going to eat chicken, that's foul, but take the skin off. The skin is the worst part of the chicken. If you're going to eat Spam, throw it away. There's nothing you can do with Spam. By the way, you know the most Spam-consuming country in the world is? Jim, you should know. You've been there. I know you have. Eats more Spam than any other country. We have a big radio station there. Big radio station there. Big AWR radio station. Guam. Guam is the biggest consumer of Spam. You go into a grocery store in Spam, and an entire aisle is... they've got Italian Spam. They've got barbecued Spam. They have a Spam that has the map of Guam on it. They made them their own Spam. They eat more Spam per capita than anywhere in the world in Guam. I hope I didn't mix that up with Palau. Is it Palau? I go to so many islands, sometimes I forget which one I'm on, and you can't look outside and tell because they all got palm trees. Do you think it was Palau or Guam? Maybe it was Palau. Okay. Palau. You know, maybe it was Palau is the biggest spammer eater. I'll have to Google that. I'll find out. Hawaii? Well, they're probably in the top five, that's for sure. Yeah. All right. Again, if you're going to eat the soy meats, moderation. A couple of times a week is more than plenty. The same thing with peanut butter. You shouldn't be eating a lot of peanut butter. And I know Adventists became known as peanut breath. Did you know that was the nickname they gave us years ago? We were called peanut breath because we ate peanuts all the time. Those soy meats were not developed for Seventh-day Adventists. You know that, don't you? The reason they were developed was to give our patients in our hospitals something to eat. But the staff started tasting it, and they go, num, num. And we started eating it. Now we're the biggest purchaser of it than the world is. Because the world says, no, we're eating plants. We're not eating that. So the idea is you want to eat what those things are made out of. They're made out of wheat. They're made out of soy. That's what we should be getting our taste buds geared towards. All right? You need a handful of nuts closed like this. That's all. No more than that, otherwise you're getting too much protein. Remember, you're not a protein machine, you're a carbohydrate machine. And peanuts are not nuts, by the way, they're beans. Keep that in mind. If you don't believe me, ask Jimmy Carter. He'll tell you that these peanuts is beans. They grow in a bush, not in a tree. And they're in a bush, they're a bean. Okay? Harvard Medical School made it very simple. Harvard said that if you eat all the different colors of the fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, you will get all the nutrition. Guess what? God color-coded the food. Does it get any simpler than that? If you're colorblind, take a friend shopping. But if you will eat all the colors, you will get all the nutrition. Everything that's deep orange or yellow is always high in vitamin A. That's right. Deep green is C. Get the purples, get the reds, get all the colors. If you get all the colors, you cannot miss. God color-coded the food. Harvard figured that out. After years of research, they said, guys, the stuff is color-coded. Different colors have matching nutrition. I thought that was really great. I'm getting more and more organic. My diet is probably 75% raw now, at least. And I buy a lot of organic. Because I'm afraid of all the GMOs and the things that are going on with it. Now, I realize that sometimes it's cost prohibitive. Organic is a little expensive or it's not available. But you know, if you do the best you can, does God ask you more? No. When God asks you to do something, He gives you the ability to do it. And if it's not in your area to do that, then God just asks you to do what you can. So don't get yourself frustrated. That's, you know, one of the reasons we ask God to bless our food is not because we're thankful. We're asking to bless it because we don't know what's happened to it. They're lying to us and they're cheating and they're doing wrong things. Some organic foods are not really organic foods because the farm next door has been sprayed like crazy and you got it. But if you're doing the best you can and you ask God to bless it, He said we could handle poisonous snakes, didn't He? So I can handle a poisonous apple or lettuce if I'm doing what I can on my part. So if you can get organic, that's best. Fresh is always best. Frozen is the next most nutritious, and then canned is the last. Doesn't mean there's nothing in canned, but it's just a little lower than fresh, obviously. Fresh is always best. Again, watch out for those labels. My rule is if I can't pronounce it, I don't eat it. I can go in the produce section, I can pronounce everything that's there. And that's where I'm heading for, is the Garden of Eden. Spices, we need to talk about that. Boy, I spent 3 months in Mexico. This was not popular. I drove right through Tabasco, Mexico. I covered the whole country in 3 months. I'm from Cabo San Lucas all the way to Playa del Carmen. And we actually drove by Tabasco. That's where they made the Tabasco sauce. And I said, don't put your feet down. Just drive through quickly. If it burns the tongue, it's going to burn the tummy. That's the simple rule of thumb. Just because you swallow it, the burning doesn't stop. It keeps burning. And one of the worst things you can put inside is black pepper. Black pepper has an oil in it called eugenol oil that will blister the tissue inside your stomach. You put some black pepper on an open cut and you tell me how long it takes you to start screaming. Because that black pepper is going to burn it. And so we're told to stay away from the irritating spices. And she lists very specifically some. Cinnamon. I call it sin again. She says no on the cinnamon several times. And if you get an LNY CD-ROM, you can look up, if you're not quite sure if this is an irritating one or not, you can look it up. But horseradish, mustard, now ginger and cayenne, although they're irritating, can be used for medicinal purposes only. You shouldn't be eating ginger and cayenne on a regular basis, or you're going to start irritating that intestinal tract, and you're going to start getting blisters and cancers and maybe tumors. So my favorite food is Italian food. Even though I'm an Irish German, I love Italian food. I like the sweet herbs, the basil, the oregano, the thyme. I like cilantro too from Mexico. But it's the sweet, mild herbs that are very nice on the stomach, and they actually have healing qualities. Oregano is a medicine. Oregano oil you can use. So try to be careful about those. If it burns the tongue, leave it on your tongue for half a minute. If that starts getting sore and tender, you know it's going to get sore and tender down here, isn't it? Yeah, swallowing doesn't make it go away. It just keeps working and burning. Vinegar. Spirit of Prophecy mentions vinegar several times. You want to stay away from vinegar. It's fermented food. When wine goes bad, what does it turn to? Vinegar. So it's the fermentation after alcohol. You can use it as an astringent to shine chrome and to clean windows, but it's not made for the human body. You can use it topically as an astringent, but don't bring it inside, because it's going to strip the mucus lining in your intestinal tract, and it's also going to destroy the vitamin C in your body. So there's no point in eating oranges and having salsa. And vinegar, the devil was busy, wasn't he? I don't think an American goes through a day without vinegar, because vinegar is in mayonnaise. And by the way, all these Adventists now are crazy over this veginase. Oh, it's on their lips, it's on their face, it's everywhere. And I said, read the label. And they said, what's wrong with it? I said, read the label. I've read all the veginase labels I could find, including some others, and they all have mustard and vinegar in them. All of them do. Mustard is an irritant. Vinegar is an irritant. And so the only good thing about veginase versus regular mayonnaise is there's no chicken droppings in it, okay? There's no eggs. But it has everything else. It's got the tons of oil. It's very greasy. You take veginase and rub it on your shirt and you can see through it. It's greasy, all right? And it's got mustard and it's got vinegar. Remember, I'm just telling you the facts. You get to eat it if you want. You can use it for a facial. You can put it in your hair. I don't care. I'm just telling you the facts. You get to decide what you want to do. You want to eat it? That's your choice, okay? I love my cashew mayonnaise. And people say, oh, it takes so much time to do all that healthy cooking. No, it doesn't. What I do every Sunday morning is I make my salad dressing for the week. Sunday morning, I take out my blender. I throw in some tofu. I throw in avocado. I throw in, I don't know, who knows, celery, tomatoes, whatever I want for that week. I change it from week to week. But I fill that blender up, put it in a tub, and I put it in the refrigerator. That's my salad dressing for the whole week. And I put lemon in it, or you can put lime, or you can put pineapple juice, any one of those, and it'll preserve. It'll stay there. And all I do is open that refrigerator, throw in my salad, a couple of slabs of my salad dressing. This stuff is not complicated. You make the cashew cheese, make a tub of it. It'll last you all week. You can put half of it in the freezer and take it out later when you want it next week. So this stuff is not hard. If you've got a blender, how long does it take to turn that blender on? It only takes a couple of minutes to throw the stuff in, blend it up, you're good. So they've got you into the fog thinking, oh, it's just too much time. No, it's not. It's not. It really isn't. It took a lot more time to tear that bird apart and make that Thanksgiving turkey than it does anything that I've ever made. Those turkeys take half a day, don't they? Yeah. And even then you might get poisoned. So, it's not that difficult. Just give it some time. You'll find out. It's so automatic now, I don't have to look at recipes. I just go in there, throw, this will be good, this will be good, this will be good. The problem is that some people come over and they try something. They say, oh, this is good. What's the recipe? I said, well, I don't know. Let's open the refrigerator. What did I put in there? I don't remember. But after a while, you just learn how to do all this stuff. Now, it's going to take time. Don't expect it to happen overnight. Your taste buds will change. Did you know that? They have discovered that every 30 days, you have new taste buds that come to the surface. They work their way up in 30 days. And every 30 days, you have new taste buds. Now, if we're constantly harassing those taste buds with chocolate, cheese, grease, and spice, are they going to be able to taste food? No, they're not. It's just like the cigarette smoker. When they quit smoking, those taste buds come alive again and they can't stop eating. And that's why a lot of women are afraid to stop smoking, because they said, I'll gain weight. Everybody does. Yeah, because food suddenly becomes tasty, because those taste buds are getting cleared out away from that tobacco. Well, the same thing with some of the foods. Now, I've worked at Weimar Institute, and I know what happens there. It's so funny. They have a buffet that the people go through, and they have recipe cards in front of each item, the sauces, the spreads. If you like it, take the card. If you don't, just leave it there. Try tomorrow. So the people go through, and they have a soup there, And the first night, almost everybody complains about the soup. They said, well, this is bland, this is awful. This is dishwater, it's a trick, isn't it? This is dishwater. We're going to die here. And they said, well, just pick some other things that you like and you'll be all right. Well, by the end of the 30 days, they have a special banquet. They bring in violin players, they light candles. Really a nice thing. Musicians come and sing. They go to the buffet again. They load up the soup and they taste it and they go, oh man, this is wonderful. How come you waited to the end to give us this soup? And by the way, you didn't put any recipes out. We want the recipe for this. They said, you already have it. They said, no, we haven't had this. Yes, it was. It was the day you got here the first time. That was the same soup. They said, that's not the same soup. They said, it's exactly the same soup. What happened in 30 days? Those new taste buds surfaced. And now you can taste an explosion of flavor that you never knew was there. You see, God designed these taste buds to unlock the flavor in His food. But if you keep eating man's food, these keys are going to get bent. They're going to get destroyed, and you can't taste food anymore. All we taste is chocolate, cheese, grease, spice, and vinegar. That's all we taste. And so when we eat food, I mean, you could put ranch dressing on shredded toilet paper, and people would probably eat it. Because all they taste is what? The ranch dressing. I like this. Why? Oh, you like the ranch dressing. All that pepper, all that vinegar, all that spice, all that milk. Yeah. But if you'll allow these taste buds to get to the surface, and it takes about 30 days, you will be pleased and surprised at the explosion of flavor that's in God's food. These taste buds were designed to unlock the flavor in God's food. God is the best cook, not Betty Crocker. She's a crock. God is the best cook. And if you allow these taste buds to... I tell you, I can honestly tell you, and I ate all the junk stuff before, you know, animal parts and all of this stuff. I can't tell you how good the food tastes now because I have pure, clean taste buds that just, I mean, people come to my house and sometimes they'll look at my table and they say, is that all you're eating? Could we fry this? And I said, oh, if you want, go ahead, fry it. You know, could we dip this in some cheese spread? And I said, well, there's no cheese spread. I said, well, could we put some chocolate? I said, well, there's no chocolate in the house. Yeah. Why? Because they're not used to food. They don't know what food tastes like. But I can promise you, you let these clean taste buds not be attacked by vinegar and spice and all of these things. They will come out so pure and so clean, you'll say, man, I didn't know celery tasted that good. And by the way, celery is the highest water content food there is. Did you know that? It's true. And if you squeeze all the water out of celery, all you got left is dental floss anyway. So, very high water content. Okay. Remember I told you the potato chip story the other day? And I want you to remember that story too. Don't beat yourself up if you have to have a Mac attack or something like that. I mean, okay, so you stumbled. But don't beat yourself up. And by all means, don't beat somebody else because they're not eating what you're eating. I've seen people go through potluck line and they'll say, is that real cheese? I know, because I was one of them. Yeah. And sometimes they're saying that because they still like it. They want it, you know. Is this carob cake or chocolate cake? You know, if you're not sure, just be quiet. Just be quiet. I say very little at mealtime. I try not to ask any questions to potluck. What I usually do is find somebody and I said, okay, whose dish is leaded and whose is unleaded? She'll say, the green one and the red one. And I said, thanks. And then I go and I don't ask any questions. I just go get the green one and the red one because I know it's unleaded. So, but you have to be careful. And I do too because even though I eat at the potluck, I've got a lecture that night. And if I'm in a coma, somebody else has to lecture because I got poisoned at potluck. This stuff makes me sick. You say, oh, eat a little, it's not going to hurt you. Yes, it is. Because you know, the cleaner your body gets, the less it tolerates. Isn't that right? Yes. You can't put Kool-Aid in a Lamborghini. All right? You can put cheap gas in that old beat-up Volkswagen, but you can't put cheap gas in a high-quality engine. And the cleaner this body gets, the less it tolerates. Just like with certain air. I can't breathe certain air because I can smell it. Certain water I can't drink. They'll say, we have good water. And I go, oh, it's giving me indigestion. So one of the slight drawbacks is the cleaner you get, the less you tolerate and the less you can handle. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That means you're getting ready to be translated. And that's what we're looking at. All right? One of the things that I used to do when I was very new is when I would pull into the parking lot of the grocery store, I would bow my head right there in the car and say, please, Jesus, don't let me buy anything that I would be ashamed to give to you tonight if you were to come to my house. And you know, when I ask Jesus to bless my food, he does come to my house, doesn't he? And I want Jesus to look down and say, Paul, I grew those strawberries just for you. I knew you were going to like those. And I know you like baked potatoes. And I know you like avocados. And I didn't used to eat avocados. Greasy, green, slimy stuff. You couldn't get me to eat avocado. Now I love avocados. You know, I make a chocolate pudding with avocado. How many of you ever done that? You can. I've done it. When I was tasting it, I was going, no. You know, but you can't taste the avocado, but it makes it very rich and creamy. You put avocado, you put agave in there, you put a little bit of salt, and you put about 4 or 5 tablespoons of carrot powder, and it's just like chocolate pudding. And sprinkle some walnuts on top. Woo! It's great. Yeah. All right. If we have time, I'll tell you some more of some fun stuff that I put together when I make things up. One of the things that will help you getting control of your diet, and this, like I said, it's going to take time, but one of the things that helps, oh, I forgot about this. I was in Canada, and there's a chocolate store. And I thought that was a good sign. The Death by Chocolate. So, truth in advertising. All right. Let's talk about some sugars. There's basically two kinds of sugars you're going to eat. You're going to eat natural sugar that God grew in the fruits and the vegetables and stuff like that. You do know that vegetables have sugar in them, don't you? Yeah, one of the sweetest is carrots. Carrots are very sweet. Most people don't know that because they don't chew it long enough. But if you chew a carrot long enough, it starts to turn sweet in your mouth. Have you noticed that? Yeah. So anyway, you're going to eat a natural sugar, you're going to eat a refined sugar. The refined sugar, the white sugar, the powdered sugar that you find in cakes and donuts and soda pops and stuff like that, that's called a sucrose disaccharide sugar. And if you want to dye, the disaccharide sugar will help you, all right? So let's say at the end of your meal, right here, you finished your meal, and you decide to have some devil's food cake, or you have some donuts or something like that, a disaccharide sugar, you're going to get this spiking effect. Because white sugar, you ask any pharmacist, is not a food. A pharmacist will tell you white sugar is a drug. It is not a food. Because you've taken 6 feet of sugar cane and you put it into a spoon. When you do that concentrate, it's called drug. What do you think drugs are? Drugs are plants that are concentrated. That's what drugs are. Plants that are concentrated. And they'll tell you white sugar is a drug. Does not behave in the body like food because it creates what's called spiking, which is what drugs do. And so you get this spiking effect. You go way up like this. And the kids, you can really tell it. You give them a candy bar, and boy, they're happy, clappy, dancing all over the place, you know. But an hour later, they're getting a spanking. Why? Because they become belligerent and disrespectful because they are crashing from the drug. They get that little quick burn. By the way, this disaccharide sugar burns very quickly. It doesn't last very long. And what goes up must go down, right here, yes. And that's where they become very cranky and very irritable. And down here at the bottom, by the way, your white blood cells are almost paralyzed. You ask any elementary school teacher, when is the highest absenteeism during the school year? It's the week after Halloween. Exactly right. The week after Halloween. Those kids didn't get treated. They got tricked. And so they got all that disaccharide sugar, and they got sick. So the highest absenteeism, elementary school, the entire school year, is the week after Halloween. They plan no big tests, no field trips, no special things, because they know the class is going to be empty. And those who are there got goo running down their face anyway because they got all that sugar. So then your body has to crawl back up to normal. Now, this spiking effect, the body does not like at all. The body likes to stay copacetic. It wants your breathing regular. It wants your pulse regular. It wants your heartbeat regular. And it wants your metabolism regular. It doesn't like the spiking effect. Very deleterious to the system. So God said, you know, I didn't make this for you. You made this. You took 6 feet of sugar cane, put it into a spoon, and by the way, you put 12 to 14 spoons in one can of soda pop. So you've got 70 to 80 feet of sugar cane in that can. How many of you have ever eaten sugar cane? How long do you think it would take you to eat 70 feet of sugar cane? I mean, that's back and forth to this wall about 3 times. Your jaw would fall off, okay? God doesn't want you eating 70 feet of sugar cane. But when you drink a soda pop, you just ate 70 feet of sugar cane. Woo! That's loaded. All right. What God wanted us to do was the sugar that He gave us, and that's called a fructose monosaccharide sugar. Now that behaves very differently in the body. Because it's in fiber, it doesn't create a sudden release, because the fiber protects it, doesn't it? When you eat the apple, when you eat the orange, it's in fiber. It's not separated from the fiber like the white sugar is. And so the uptake is very gradual. It burns longer and it brings you back down to normal. I call this the happy bump. You know, when you eat strawberries, you eat bananas, pineapple, a mango, whatever, you get a little happy bump. And God knew we would like that and we would enjoy it. And He wanted us to enjoy it. But we said, well, that's not enough of a bump. I want a spike. And so we've been spiking ourselves. And unfortunately, we have to pay the price because of that. We become addicted to those things. Okay. So, hearing all of this stuff, plant-based diet, some people ask, can you really, really be healthy on a plant-based diet? Well, the athletes can certainly tell us that. Well, wait a minute. Let me talk to you about fasting first, then we'll go into the athletes, because I'm running out of time. I got half an hour left. I fast once a week. Every Saturday morning, I just don't eat. I don't eat on Sabbath morning. So that I have a 24-hour fast from Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. In that 24 hours, several things happen. My body gets really clean, and my mind is empowered over my body. That's what fasting does. It puts your mind in power over your body. Fasting is very good. I highly recommend it. If you can't do it once a week, try to do it at least a couple times a month. Now, there are different kinds of fasts you can go on. If you haven't done it before, you can get sick on fasting because your body starts to clean up and you may have so much garbage, you get really sick. It happens. But you can try a fruit fast, but that's all you eat for the day is fruit. You should up your water drinking to 12 to 15 glasses. You got lots of fluid to flush it out. Your urine will probably get quite dark because of all the toxins. But hang in there. If you start feeling sick, stop the fast, eat a sandwich or something like that, and the body will stop cleaning. It says, oh, we got food to process, no more cleaning. But once the food is processed, they get out the broom and the dust mop and they mop and start cleaning up again. So try a fruit fast, maybe, see how you do. If you do okay, maybe try a juice fast, where that's all you have for the day is juice. All right? Not every hour at mealtime. 3 or 4 juices at breakfast, 3 or 4 juices at lunch, 3 or 4 juices, you know, you have tomato juice, apple juice, orange juice, whatever. Try a juice fast with your 12 to 15 glasses of water if you're doing okay. Eventually, you'd like to get to the ultimate water fast. Now, if you're diabetic or hypoglycemic, you may have to take some precautions. Remember the advice that I'm giving you, the recommendations, or if you have a normal system. And we're not saying you have to do this. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm simply a teacher. But I'm teaching you what God has taught us through the Bible and inspired writings. And this is what works. So, fasting helps you get control of your diet. It really works. All right. Are we at the athletes yet? Yes, we are. All right. Now, I could go on and on about athletes and how well they perform on a plant-based diet. Sixto Linares won the double Ironman competition as a vegetarian. Paavo Nurmi, he's known as the Flying Finn. He's from Finland. He's still the only man to win 12 Olympic medals in these races. And in fact, the 1 mile, 5,000, 10,000 meter, nobody has won all three to this day. This guy is amazing. On a plant-based diet, Bill Pearl, Mr. Universe 4 times. He lives just outside of Portland. I went by to see him just this last year, and he was out of town. But obviously this guy needs some meat. He's a little scrawny, huh? Marine Captain Alan Jones, go to the Guinness World Book of Records. This guy is all over the Guinness World Book of Records. He jumped rope 43,000 times in 5 hours, took a 75-pound barbell and lifted it 1,600 times in 9 hours, swam 68 miles nonstop, did 51,000 sit-ups in 76 hours on a plant-based diet. Now, how many of you have heard of the Ironman competition held once a year in Hawaii? On the Big Island? You know what that is? Thousands of men and women come from all over the world to win this competition. And there's one man, Dave Scott, at the top, was the first person to win Ironman 6 times. Nobody else had ever done that before. And they said, Dave, how can you win Ironman 6 times? He said, simple, I know what to put in my body. It's a plant-based diet. Now, just recently, Mark Allen, and there's Mark Allen running with Dave Scott. This is Mark. Mark also won Ironman 6 times, the next person to do it. And he started out as a vegetarian. I don't think he's doing as well now, but he started out as a vegetarian, and that gave him the leg up to be able to be the second person to win Ironman 6 times. Now, a couple of years ago, I was lecturing in Oregon. I guess it's been about 10 years ago. I was lecturing in Oregon, and they told me about the World Senior Games. And I said, what is the World Senior Games? They said, it was just like the Olympics, except you have to be 55 years or older, or 50 years old or older to participate. And I said, really? Well, that sounds really interesting. I want to go check it out. So I found out it was in St. George, Utah that year, so I flew to Las Vegas, got a car, went up to St. George, Utah, and when I got there, you know, I thought I was going to see a bunch of, you know, old prunes running down a little road there and people clapping, and I was shocked. Wow. There was 1,400 athletes from 40 different countries all over the world. This is the stadium. There were 25,000 spectators cheering on their favorite countries, cheering on their favorite athletes. That's me. I showed up, and I started looking over these athletes, and I thought, man, you guys are eating sausage for breakfast, pancakes, fried eggs. I think I can whip you. So I said, I'd like to register to race. And they said, oh, did you train? I said, no. I said, well, Mr. Vogt, you'll just get disqualified. You're wasting your money. And I said, I want to play. And so they said, all right, you can play. So they had marching bands there. Celebrities were there. Helen Reddy there. Joe Namath was there. And this is the Parade of Nations. You can see the different flags. Because I was the new racer in that division that year, I was asked to carry the American flag. I'll tell you, that was very exciting. You know, as the different countries would go out, Australians would jump up for the Australians, the Germans would jump up, but there was nothing like Old Glory. When she came around that corner, the stadium went hysterical. People leaped to their feet. I actually froze because it startled me so much, you know. They said, come on, Paul, get going. And I said, right. Yay, yay, red, white, and blue, USA, USA. Pretty exciting. So race day came, and a buddy of mine was with me. He had a camera. He was taking all the pictures, and there I am in the race, right there in the red. And they said, Mr. Volk, what are you wearing? They were just street tennis shoes because I hadn't planned to play, you know. These guys had $400 Nikes that are featherweight, you know, and all this. And they said, you really think you're gonna finish this race? You're going to get disqualified. And I said, well, when that gun goes off, you take a look at the back of this head because that's all you're going to see. So I entered two races. I entered the 5-kilometer race, and I entered the 1,500-meter race. This is the official jacket of the World Senior Games. You can see some of the flags of the different athletes. Some of these athletes are actually Olympians. They've come back to get some more medals from the Senior Olympics. And so the 5-kilometer race and the 1,500-meter race, the ones I entered, I received silver medals in both races. And the judges were shocked. They said, how could you walk in off the street and take silver medals? You didn't even train. And I said, well, I proved my point. Someone on a plant-based diet can whip you meat eaters. And they said, well, you know, if you practice and train and come back, you're going to take all the gold medals away. And I says, no, I don't need to come back anymore. That's all I need to get into the high schools and the colleges. I just call up the football, basketball coach, say, hi, I'm a silver medalist. Would you like me to talk to your athletes? And of course, when I get there, I talk to them about drugs, alcohol, and sex, their other three favorite topics. And so God has been good. There hasn't hardly been a high school I couldn't get into. And when I was racing, I told God, I said, God, if you get me a medal, I'm going to use it for your glory. And I didn't really think I could possibly do it because they all said, you know, come on. These guys are 1,400 athletes from all over the world. What are you going to do? And I said, well, we'll see what God can do. I was so pleased. Both races I entered, silver. And I said, okay, God. He kept me humble. He didn't let me get gold, but he let me get silver. That's good enough. That works. All right. Something that was very interesting, they had a new machine there called a bioscan. It costs $7 million to develop this machine. And what it does is it tests your immune system. It just came out that year, so I was really interested. It looks like a projector, and it has a lens, and you put your hand over the lens, and a blue laser light goes into your skin. You can't feel it at all, but this blue laser light gathers data from your skin to determine your, it's called your antioxidant defense system, in other words, your immune system. And when they get the test back results, if you score under 10,000, you have a weak antioxidant defense. In other words, your immune system is shot, you're anemic, you need to go to a doctor right away. If you scored 10 to 17, you're marginal. 17 to 25, you're average. You're going to get the average number of colds, flus, and viruses that everybody else gets. But if you score over 25,000, You're optimum. You're good to go. Take off. Well, they got my result back, and it was 34,000. And they said, Mr. Volk, we have to ask you a question. What's that? Are you a vegetarian? What would make you think to ask me a question like that? And they said, because we've given this test to thousands of people, and only the vegetarians seem to be able to break the 25,000 barrier. So the latest laser medical technology is saying plant-based diet is the best. Now, a couple of years later, I was visiting some people in California. They bought one of these machines, and they said, Paul, we'd like to give the test to you again. And I said, okay. They said, have you been doing anything different? And I said, yeah, my diet's a lot more raw, and it's a lot more organic. And they said, okay, well, let's see what that's doing. And so they gave me the test again, and this is the test. And I got a nice color sheet and so on. And if you're in the red zone, you're in trouble. Your immune system is very low. And as you work your way up there to the lavender there, it's very good. And I said, well, how did I score? And they said, well, we're not really sure. And I said, why not? And they said, well, you see, the machine only goes up to 59,000, and you went off the machine. So we don't know what it is. So you see, when the mosquitoes take my blood, they can beat up the hornets and the wasps and the bees. I'm telling you this not because I'm special. I'm telling you this because God's message is special. And it works. And it's never too late to start. Never. Because whenever you take those steps, I believe two things happen. One, your body's getting the tools to do what it wants to do. But number two, God is allowed to step in and tell Satan, step back. This is my child following my laws. And so you've got God working on your side, and you've got all that water, fresh air, good rest, and good food in your favor, working for you. Oh, okay. Let's keep going. I was lecturing in the Loma Linda area. I won't tell you where. But this fluffy doctor was at my seminar, and he was very unhappy. And he thought, you can't possibly be healthy like that. He says, I want you to come down to my clinic, and we're going to take 3 blood samples. I said, 3 blood samples? What for? He goes, well, I want to make sure you're okay. What he wanted to make sure was he could find something wrong with me. He says, I'm sending your 2 other samples to 2 other clinics that do testing that my clinic doesn't do. So this guy meant business. He took 3 blood samples, sent them to the other 2 clinics, did his clinical study. A couple days later, he says, why don't you come in? I got your results. And I said, okay. So I came back. Now, you know when you take a blood panel, they don't want you to be too low in anything, but they also don't want you to be too high in anything. Both of them are dangerous if you're low or you're high. And when we got the test back, you only see one word in all of my testing, and that word is normal. And he looked at that and he goes, almost nobody does this. I said, really? And he goes, I don't know how you did that. And I said, well, God did. And he goes, yeah, I guess. I said, you mean God was right all the time? And he goes, yeah, I guess. So, God is good, yes. All right, let's see what we got here. Okay. Ecclesiastes 10:17 says, blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth, and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Now, when I read that, I said, Solomon, you got that wrong. I don't eat to get drunk. I drink to get drunk. Don't you? Isn't that what you did? But you know, he was absolutely right. We do eat to get drunk. And Ellen White said over 150 years ago, many parents have prepared their children to be drunkards at the dinner table. Did you know that? They've prepared their children to be drunkards at the dinner table. How does that happen? Well, we've proved this over and over again in prisons with inmates, and they've proved it with laboratory rats. In fact, they took some laboratory rats, put them in a huge cage. At one end of the cage was a beaker of water. At the other end of the cage, they added 10% alcohol to the beaker, just 10%. As soon as they released the rats into the cage and they tasted the one with alcohol, they wouldn't drink it. They would only drink the water. Animals don't drink alcohol. They're smarter than us. But now the experiment began. They changed their diet. And they changed the diet. Well, see if you recognize some of this food. They ground up hot dog with mustard and pickle relish, soft drink, apple pie, which has what in it? Sin again in apple pie, stimulant, all right? Spaghetti, meatballs, French bread, green beans, chopped salad. You say, ha-ha, chopped salad. Well, they had to give them something green or they would have died right away. chocolate cake, candy bar, and cookies. All of this food, just about, is full of high excitotoxins, stimulants, isn't it? Chocolate with the theobromine and the caffeine in it, and the vinegar that was in the prepared foods. Almost all pickles you can buy have vinegar in them. You got ones here that are made of lemon, but you go in the grocery store and it's vinegar. So they've got these little mice are getting low nutrition but high stimulation, aren't they? That's a bad combination. Low nutrition, high stimulation. In a short period of time, all of the rats were drinking only alcohol. They didn't want the water anymore because now they were living on stimulation. And once you start stimulation in the system, it needs more and it needs stronger. Okay? So they said, you know, we're going to take this experiment a little farther. We're going to remove this junk food and we're going to give them back their normal laboratory rat chow. And in a short period of time, guess what? Most of the rats went back to drinking only water because they were getting good nutrition and no stimulation. However, a number of the rats didn't make it back. They died of cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism. And you see, the problem with our young people and adults is serious because nobody takes away the junk food. And we wonder why Susie started smoking, why Johnny started drinking, why our kids are sexually active. There's a reason why. It's because they're undernourished and overstimulated. And that's a perfect combination for Satan to have his will in their lives. Indeed, many parents have prepared their children to be drunkards at the dinner table. And that's what happened to most of my classmates in school. We were eating all that food, and we wonder why we couldn't control ourselves sexually, why we were experimenting with tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. I didn't know one classmate who didn't do some of those things. Every one of us did some of those. And when it's time to come back to the 10-year, and especially the 20-year reunion, some of them were dead. Some of them were in prison. Some of them were in mental institutions because of drug overdose. We were out of control. I was in the highest maximum security prison in Europe. It's in Slovenia. They asked me, the pastor there, I know him very well. He said, Paul, I've got you into this prison. We want you to talk to these people. Same day, we spoke to a convent, too. A Mother Superior, her nuns were getting sick, and they asked me to go to the convent. Well, it was a prison, but I don't have time to tell you the convent story. That was a good one. But the prison, when I got there, I was escorted by 6 machine gun guards, 3 flanking me on either side. We walked into the auditorium. 3 went fanned out this way, 3 of them fanned out this way. They put their finger on the trigger. And they said, Mr. Volkas, if there's any disturbance, all you do is get down on the ground because we shoot anything that stands up. Duck! We shoot anything that stands up because we don't play with these guys. These guys are here to die. They're not getting out. There's no more lawyers. There's no more appeals. These are the most heinous criminals in all of Europe. Mass murderers, rapists, and the worst are sent here to die. You have a one-way ticket. You stay here. You don't come out until you're dead. And so they said, we don't care if they die today or next year. So if they give us any problem, we just open fire. That's all there is to it. So if there's any problem, just get down, Paul. We shoot everything else that moves. And I said, you will find my lips right on the floor. So these guys started pouring into the prison, the auditorium. And I'm telling you, you would not want your sister going out with these boys. Rough looking, scarred up, mean, angry looking guys. And they came in and sat down. And I had 2 hours with them. And I can tell you, by just over a little hour, tears were coming down their faces. And they said, Paul, if we would have only known this as teenagers, we may never have lived a life of violence and crime the way we did. But yes, we were undernourished and overstimulated. And that led to the life that we have here today. We're going to die. We'll never have a family. We'll never see our children grow up because we're going to die because we didn't know how to take care of ourselves. And they kept saying, you got to call my cousin, you got to call my brother, you got to call my uncle because they're heading right here too. They don't know this. They don't know this. Talk to them. Tell them. I said, you do it. You know now. You go do it. So you become a missionary of one to go out and tell people this truth because it really is true and it really will set you free. Oh, 12 minutes. Oh, I was going to show you the Dwight Nelson one, but that's too long. Dwight Nelson is 14 minutes. Okay, we'll have to go a different route. We'll show you the Dwight Nelson maybe tomorrow, okay? I'll just have to talk a little faster and have to get here a little earlier. Dwight Nelson does a presentation tomorrow. I used to get in trouble for it. Conference president said, you will not speak in this conference anymore because of what you said. And I said, all right. But Dwight Wilson said it. So now I just sit down and I let Dwight tell him. Get him, boy. Get him. I was so excited Dwight came up with this because he'd been reading Spirit of Prophecy. And he lays it out. It's strong and heavy. I've had pastors see this and they say, you can't show this in my church. And I said, when will we show it? He said, they're not ready for it. When will they be ready? You can't show it. You're not showing this in my church. So we have to leave. Breaks my heart. Because maybe somebody needed that. And they never got the chance. Never got the chance. Because somebody else decided for them. You can't handle this. What? We don't have handcuffs when people come to my seminars. If they're not happy, they're free to go anytime. God bless you. But anyway, if you tell me you're not convicted about something, and I'll tell you, when I heard some of the stuff I'm telling you, I wasn't convicted either. I said, wait a minute. That can't be true. My mother's a nurse. I know that's not right. But you know, the AMA didn't have it right, did they? No, they didn't. They were still learning too. They didn't agree with probably 80% of what Ellen White said. Did you know that? Yeah, she was fanatical, extreme, not good information. But you know, today, they agree with over 95% of what she said. I'm not waiting for them to find out the other five. I'm moving ahead. I trust the prophet. Prophet from the prophet. So if you tell me, I'm not convicted I need to drink that much water. I'm not convicted that I got to eat plants. I'm not convicted that this music is okay. And boy, you need to study the physiology of music. There is a science to music, and Satan knows full well. Music has three component parts: harmony, melody, and rhythm. Harmony and melody are supposed to carry the song. If rhythm carries the song, and it's happening too much in many of our churches, hello? If rhythm is carrying the song, I can tell you absolutely, unequivocally, demons come into your sanctuary because you've called them. You've called them. And when the demons come in, the angels go out. And you're going to have a hard time getting a Sabbath blessing with demons dancing in your sanctuary. We know what that music sounds like. I grew up in the 60s. I've listened to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. I can smell that music. I can hear it a mile away. I go, demons are over there. Demons are over there. I know what it sounds like. There's no guesswork. And I guess you guys had Ivor Myers here a couple of years ago. I hope that sticks. It doesn't look like it. You need to stay on top of this stuff or demons come in. They come in invited and they'll stay. Yes. So I had to learn all about music. I didn't understand it. I thought, oh, if it makes me feel good, if it sounds good, it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. Alcohol made me feel good. Marijuana made me feel good. Didn't mean it was right. We got to be careful about our music. Who was the choir leader in heaven and would know most about music? Lucifer, the light bearer. He knows about music. He knows how to work it. Yes. So I think it's on YouTube. You can watch Ivor Myers on that. And there's a couple of other guys. There's a German fellow from South Africa. He does a lecture on music because he used to be in a rock band. And he can tell you about that rock melody. You hear that pounding drum? You heard about those voodoo witch doctors that got converted in Africa? They came to America to share their testimony in all the big churches. They picked him up at the airport. They got in there. He turned it on to a Christian rock station. As soon as he started to pull out, those witch doctors leaped out of that car while it was moving. And they ran in the opposite direction. The missionary, the pastor had to slam on the brakes, go chase them back after him. Where are you going? They said, demons are in that car. We're not getting in that car. We're free now. We're Christians. I said, what are you talking about? They said, that music. We know we use that to bring the demons to do our voodoo and our black magic. Really? They said, yeah, turn that off or we're not getting in that car. That the demons come in. You can't possibly get a blessing when the demons are dancing. And I've been in more than one church where I had to leave before I preached to go outside because those demons were jumping all over me from that beat music that was going on. Oh yeah, Christian Berdahl, he does one too. He sent me all of his stuff. I told him what I did and he just put a box together and sent me everything. Yeah, he actually gets you samples of it too. Dean Grahams also does a series on, and he plays it for you. He says, now I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen to this. And then he explains to you harmony, melody, and rhythm. If you don't understand that, then you're a fool for Satan. He can control you because he knows what he's doing. He's not playing games here. He's out to get this last generation. And boy, if it smacks from the tones of hell and angels aren't joining in, I'm out of here. And I've had to leave the pulpit several times because I was feeling so horrible with those demons being invited into the sanctuary. I just step outside and they go out after me and they say, Paul, are you coming in to preach? And I said, when that stuff stops, when that stuff stops, and we have to have special prayer, bring the angels back in, get the demons out of the sanctuary. Yeah. 7 minutes. I'm doing good, Jim. All right, so you tell me, I'm not convicted about the music, you know. And young people tell me that all the time. And I say, well, I can't help a fool. The Bible says, don't teach a fool, because he'll hate you. I can't help a fool. If you don't want to listen to reason and truth, you don't want to listen to what the experts are telling us, then go ahead and do it the hard way. I did it the hard way the first 23 years of my life. I did it the hard way. I know what the hard way is. I don't want to do it the hard way. As soon as I found out what the easy way is, I said, we're doing this way. Why? I had to throw out lots of music. I had to throw out lots of stuff in the refrigerator. I didn't give it to somebody else. I threw it away. I don't want somebody else to stumble. Yeah? Videos, DVDs, get rid of them. Throw them away. Yeah. Stop that stuff. Stop it. Don't spread it. Don't have a garage sale. Make a few bucks and spread Satan a little farther. Okay? So if you tell me I'm not convicted about that, it doesn't bother me any. You know that monster drink? I saw it right here on this campground. And I mentioned to the young person, I said, do you know what you're drinking there? And he says, I need this. And I said, you know, it's loaded with sugar and caffeine, and teenagers are in the emergency room of the hospitals because of that. And he goes, I don't care. And I said, well, that's your choice. But you know that M that they have on there? If you look at the way those letters are formed that on that M, they're actually Hebrew numbers. Did you know that? They're Hebrew numbers, 666. Yeah, very interesting. All right, you tell me you're not convicted. The first thing I'm going to say before I let you walk away, oh, I'm not convicted. I say, wait a minute. If you're not convicted, do you pray about this? What? Yeah, do you pray? Pray about it. No, I might get an answer and I have to change. And I don't want to change. Well, listen, do you study about this? Have you learned the facts? Do you know what harmony, melody, and rhythm are? Do you know what trans fatty lipoproteins are? Do you know any of these things? Well, no, I don't want to study about it, because if I learn the facts, I may have to change, and I don't want to change. Huh? Well, listen, do you talk to other people about it? Now, don't just go to McDonald's and ask them about diet. Don't go to Victoria's Secret and ask how a woman should dress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you talk to others? Well, I don't want to talk to anybody, because then I may have to change, and I don't want to change. My friend, the problem is that you're not convicted. The problem is, you're not converted. That's the issue. You're not converted. Because a converted person is going to pray about everything they do. They're going to study and show themselves approved unto God, a man rightly dividing the word of truth. And they're going to talk to others. I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. I talk to Muslims, I talk to Buddhists, I talk to the Meatpackers Association. By the way, every federal meat inspector that I have talked to is a vegetarian. 100%. They said that they won't eat meat, they know it's getting through in those slaughterhouses, and they won't let their children eat it. Every federal meat inspector I've talked to. Now, I'm not saying all of them are, but the ones I've talked to. See, I'll talk to you. Give me your load, you know. Tell me about your rap music. Tell me what you think. Uh-huh. Tell me about those clothes, what they mean, what they represent. I'll listen. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. And that's all God asks us to do, doesn't he? If you'll do this, you will be convicted. You'll know why you don't listen to this. You know why you don't watch this. You know why you don't wear this. You know why you don't eat this, drink this, smoke this. You'll know why. Knowledge is power. Truth will set you free. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you will follow His way, believe and accept His truth, you will have the life, not only now, but for eternity. Amen? Amen. Any questions? We have 3 minutes. Yes. Soy cheese is transition. It's a step in the right direction. I don't think so. She's asking about soy cheese. I call it a transition. It's better than cow juice, okay? But it's a transition. You have to watch out for that casein. That's a lot of the milk protein. So you got to be careful about it. That's why I like my cashew cheese. I know what's in it, and I can handle that. So I hand here? Oh, I'll try to write it down and get it to you. But it's just avocado, carob powder, sweetener, agave, honey, whatever, and a little salt. Yeah. Yes. They put agar in it. Yeah. It's a plant. A seaweed, like a seaweed. Yeah. You can find it. You probably have to go to a health food store. I don't think it's a Walmart. By the way, I don't think anything's at Walmart. I just avoid that place. They don't have anything organic that I know of. Trader Joe's is getting much better. Kroger's is carrying more organic. Oh, they do. Well, good for Walmart. Yeah. Just started, okay? It's not so good. It's a very saturated fat. You know? What is it? Lecithin? Yeah, I think it's an oil, and I think it's supposed to be okay. Yeah. What I use for bread, bless their hearts, they found me a loaf of it here. They had to go to four or five places, but I got the Ezekiel 4:9 bread. That's made by Adventist, Mr. Torres. I know him personally. And then there's also a Canadian company called Sun, something about Sun. Silver Hills. That was close. Silver Hills makes it. I've been to their place there in British Columbia too. And they make a sprouted grain bread. When you make a sprouted grain bread, the nutritional value goes up 300%. It's like eating some steak. When you eat a sprouted grain bread, it stays with you. It feels really good. All right? So I got 1 second. Closing prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, wow, this is so much information. But Lord, please help us to be convicted and converted on these issues so that we can be healthy, happy, and holy for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.